John chapter 5. We need to review just a little bit. So we'll be looking at verses 15 through 24. And of course, the verse that we'll understand to be the verse of emphasis is John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus healed a man who had been ill for 38 years. And Jesus did this healing in the city of Jerusalem, the very center of Jewish worship. He also did it on the Sabbath day. And because Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, the Jews were extremely angry at Jesus. Jesus had not only healed this man on the Sabbath day, but the Bible tells us that he had commanded him to take up his bed and walk. And when the healed man did this, the Jews then began to hunt for Jesus. The Bible tells us in verse 16 that they sought him to slay him. Here is a man who has healed a man who had been severely ill and crippled for 38 years. And now the Jewish leadership actually hounds him and hunts him and pursues him that they might slay him. Jesus explained his reason for healing in verse 17. Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Jesus meant by this, "My Father has been working." And the term working here, or the word working, means to form by labor. My Father has been producing things. My Father has been laboring. And as a result of his laboring, he has formed and created things. Jesus said, "And now I am doing the same thing. Like my Father. Now I am forming and producing things. I am creating things. My Father works, and now I am working." And that this simple explanation that Jesus gave of why he had healed the man who was impotent, the Bible tells us that it brought more anger from the enemies of Jesus. Sometimes we believe that the truth will calm, that it will create a circumstance of peace and tranquility. But as we read the Word of God, and as we look at the history of our people, we understand that oftentimes telling the truth will agitate the enemies of God to a greater degree. And this is what happened when Jesus explained to them, "I've seen my Father work, and now I am doing the work of my Father." Therefore the Jews, the Bible tells us, sought him the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus had done all these things. Everything that they had said about him in regard to making himself equal with the Father was absolutely true. But they had taken what Jesus taught, and they had twisted the things that he had said. Jesus had not broken the Sabbath. Jesus was the Lord of the Sabbath. He was God's Son. He is God's Son. He is equal with God. This term that's translated equal means that Jesus Christ is equal to God in appearance, in size, in strength and number. In other words, Jesus is not a little boy imitation of God the Father. He is not an adolescent Jesus who does not understand his Father and who resents his Father. Jesus is the mature Son of God, equal with God in power, equal with God in status, equal with God in ability, equal with God in knowledge. And so it was not blasphemy for Jesus to make himself equal with God by saying, God is my Father. Jesus did what he had seen his Father do. I want you to see something here that has eluded me for many years. And that is, Jesus is presenting his Father, or God, as his Father. And then he is expecting us to comprehend that as an obedient, mature son does what his Father has taught him to do, that he, as a mature and obedient son, is doing what his Father has taught him to do. And as a son does what he has seen his Father do, Jesus, the Son of God, is doing what he has seen his Father do. Jesus worked in harmony with his Father. He did what he had seen God do. And there was never a moment of disagreement between God the Father and God the Son. In verse 20, the Bible tells us that the Father loves his Son. And because he loves his Son, he reveals his works to his Son. Let's read verse 19. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. And what he means by that is, I am not going to do anything that is not in harmony with my Father. But what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. I see my Father, and I do what I have seen my Father do. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself doeth. Whenever a father loves his son, he shows his love by sharing not only his experiences with that son, but showing him, that is the son, how to do things and do them well. I get amazed sometimes by looking at my own sons as I see them sharing things with their sons, because they love their sons, showing them how to do things, showing them the things that they have learned, whether it's in music or the simple things of caring for the home or loving your wife or caring for your children, sharing things. And this is what Jesus is saying. Like every father who is the kind of father that he ought to be, my Father, God, is showing me all the things that I need to know in order to be an obedient and mature son. He will show his son greater works. These greater works will cause men to be astonished. Notice what Jesus said. And he will show him greater works. That is, as I continue to live on the earth, my Father will show me and reveal to me things that are even greater than what? Than the works you have just seen. You have seen me work a work. The work I worked was to heal a man who was crippled, impotent, helpless. You're going to see even more marvelous things than this. And I believe what Jesus had in mind was the resurrection of people who have been dead for a period of time. Keep that in mind. The Father and the Son both give life. In verse 21, Jesus said, For as the Father raises up the dead And that statement immediately follows the fact that he's going to show greater works than these. That is, these you've just seen him do. There was the healing of the sick. There was feeding of multitudes. All of these things, the greatest work that Jesus is going to do is the raising of the dead. Would anyone disagree with that? It is the greatest work that God shall do, and that is to raise all of the dead. And that's the work that Jesus is speaking about here. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens, which means to give life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. God raises and gives life to the dead in the resurrection. Jesus also will raise the dead, and this will be the greater work that he spoke of in verse 20. Now, there is a unique work that God has in his wisdom and will given to the Son. And this unique work that the Father has given into the hands of the Son is the work of judgment. Notice in verse 22, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." The word "committed" means to give into another's hands freely and of one's own accord. We read constantly that God will judge all things, and that's true. But God has committed or freely given over to the hands of Jesus Christ the work of judging all men in everything. In Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31, there again is the statement that at the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he has appointed, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ then has the unique work of judgment. But why bring this up? Why has this become a part of this discussion or answer, this dialogue that Jesus is involved with the Jews of Jerusalem? Why bring up the idea of judgment? Because there is a purpose to this arrangement that we're looking at. And the purpose of this arrangement was to bring honor to Jesus Christ. And in bringing honor to Jesus Christ, there would be honor given to God his Father. Now think of it. If you want to really honor me, honor my sons. If you really want to honor Richard, honor his children. If you really want someone to honor you, let them honor you through your children. This is an honor to the Father when the Son is honored. When that son or daughter achieves some level of opportunity that they have taken advantage of, whether it's graduating from high school or university or becoming in a profession, when those children are honored by the government, the military, by the awards or medals they've won, every parent is honored by what happens to their children. So Jesus is saying that God is honored when people honor me. Now notice, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son." Now notice, that is the purpose of the judgment is what? That all men should honor the Son. God gave over the work of judgment to Jesus Christ so that the world will honor Jesus Christ. Now, there are two words that are translated honor in the New Testament. One of them means to reverence, to bow down, to speak of in a laudable manner. And there's another word that has the idea of changing opinion, of recognition of worth. It has in it this sort of idea. One word means to bow down, to praise. Another means to achieve a level where people want to do that. And so what Jesus is saying here, that God doesn't do the work of judging, but he's committed the work of judging to his Son, so that in this work of judging, people will desire to honor him. These people were honoring Jesus, at least some of them were, because of the miracles that he had been doing. Just the things that humans would be intensely interested in and attracted to Jesus by. Walking on the water, feeding the multitude, opening the eyes of the blind. These were things that were of incredible interest to humans. There's something far more to Jesus Christ than a benevolent and merciful human. There's something far more valuable in the ministry and work of Jesus than simply helping a cripple of 38 years be able to walk. And that is what? Judgment, dealing with judgment, and with death. Death and judgment are far more serious than being blind or being crippled. Judgment and death are the greatest questions that face any human being on this earth. They are the greatest questions that face you this morning. You may be sitting in the pew worried about what you're going to do tomorrow. Or you may be sitting in the pew anticipating what you're going to do tomorrow. You may be thinking about your job and what all you've got to do. And all these things may be in your mind. But I can tell you that there is nothing that will ever be as important to you as the question of judgment and death. This is what Jesus is addressing here. These judgments are a great work. To dishonor Jesus is to dishonor God. God sent his Son, made in the likeness of a human being. The Bible tells us that he sent whom his Father which has sent him. Let's read that all men should honor the Son, verse 23, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Now, this word sent here is not the word that means he gives him authority or that he gives him power. Jesus didn't need authority. Jesus gave us authority. But God didn't send Jesus with the idea of imparting to him the authority to do what he did. Jesus didn't need the authority because he already possessed that as the Son of the living God. It simply means that God sent Jesus to do a work for him. And therefore the work that he has been sent to do is an appointment of God. Now, he's not going to talk much about judgment. A little bit more in this discourse, but not much more. What Jesus wanted these people to understand is, you are marveling that I have given health to a cripple. There is a greater work than this that I will do, which is to resurrect the dead. And there is the work of judging that God has committed to me. Honor me because I will judge the world. Honor God through me because I will do the work that God has sent me to do. Now, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Look at it. What's Jesus been talking about? Greater things, giving life. What's the second thing that he's been talking about? And shall not come into condemnation. That's judgment. But is passed from death unto life. Here is Jesus talking about death, talking about judgment, and talking about everlasting life. Because he has seen the Father do it. And the Father has committed to him judgment. So Jesus is saying, look, I am the key. I am the answer to what? I am the answer to death. I am the answer to everlasting life. I am the answer to resurrection. I am the answer to condemnation or judgment. God has put me in charge of judgment. I've seen the Father give life, and I too can give life. He is saying, honor me. Receive me for whom I am. Believe in me for what I can do. Trust me for what I have been sent to do. And I can solve the death problem. I can solve the resurrection problem. I can solve the sin problem. I can solve the judgment problem. That's what Jesus is telling these people. And that's what he's telling us. Now notice. Truly, truly, certainly, certainly, verily, verily. The word verily comes from a Latin term, veritas. And veritas means truth. That's its entire meaning, truth. And Jesus is saying, truth, truth. I am telling you the truth. I say unto you, he that heareth my word. Heareth doesn't mean that you simply acknowledge sound that comes into your ear. But it has in the idea of learning by what you hear, of receiving instruction by what you hear. And there were so many people who heard Jesus who never heard Jesus. There were people who were familiar with his voice. Judas could have said on any given occasion, "Ah, who's that speaking yonder in the darkness?" And Judas could have said, "That is Jesus." He knew the voice of Jesus. And there were hours, no doubt, that Judas Iscariot sat and listened to the voice and to the speaking and teaching of Jesus, but Judas never heard. Like Jesus is saying here in this verse. He that heareth, whoever receives this information that I'm giving, whoever's informed by the truth that I speak, whoever learns by what I say, and then believes. And this term means more than to acknowledge as truth. It means to rely upon what Jesus has said. To trust in what Jesus has said. To give credit to Jesus and to trust in his fidelity. To trust in his honesty. To trust in his truthfulness. We don't believe a liar. And Jesus is saying, I am not telling you something that is not true. Hear it. Receive the instruction And then commit yourself to the truth that I teach you. Do the truth that I teach you. And if you'll do that, if you will hear, receive instruction, and then commit yourself to accepting the truth in such a active way that you do what Jesus said, then what will happen? Believing on Him that sent me hath what kind of life? Everlasting life. Can you believe that? Well, you know, preacher, I sure hope that's true. That's a good thought, you know, that kind of encouraging, isn't it? Can you believe that? Hath everlasting life. There's the life part that we've just been talking about. There's the resurrection part that Jesus just been talking about. Now notice the judgment part. And shall not come into condemnation. One translator said he does not have to face judgment. The process of separation. That's what this word judgment means. It's translated condemnation, but it has in it the idea of judgment and taking that which is not up to specifications or up to a standard. It is cast away. There is a separation. There are many judgments, but the judgment we're talking about now is not a judgment as to the rewards we have in heaven, though Jesus will be the one who makes that judgment. But we're talking about the judgment about our sins, that when the law of God is applied, we'd all be separated from God. And according to Revelation 20, we would be cast into the everlasting fire of punishment and separation from God. That's the judgment we're talking about now. The judgment that has separated between you and your God. That is eternal and everlasting separation. And Jesus ends that by what He does for us when we trust what God sent Him to do. Jesus said, but is passed from death unto life. Get this, folk. Truly, truly, honestly, honestly, veritas, veritas, I say unto you, he that hears, comprehends, accepts, is informed, instructed by my word, by what I say, by what's written in this book, and he then believes it in the sense that he trusts and that he depends upon it and he relies upon it. And upon the God who has said it, he will not come to judgment. He'll not be brought to the judgment. And the judgment that he will not be brought to is the great white throne judgment. But is passed from death unto life. Now, this doesn't simply mean that you walk through a door and that you have walked through a door now that is life, and so you have passed from death unto life. You know, here's death and here's life and here's a door, so you walk through the door from death to life. But then again, you might have to turn around and walk through the door again back to death if you did something bad. You know, here's death and here's life and here's a doorway between death and life. And so you walk between them. You go to church and do right, so you're over here in the life part. But then you do wrong, so you go through the door again over to the death part. And so life is just a matter of walking between the death and the life and going through the door that separates them. Absolutely not. The word passed here means to pass over from one place to another, but it has in it the idea of state. You see, we're born again when we do what Jesus says do, and our passing is from one state to another. Not like state of Arkansas or Missouri, but we're from one state of being. There is a transformation. There is a total change that occurs. And it's from what? Death to life. He is passed from death in the grave. He is passed from condemnation because of sin. He is transported, carried over into an entirely different state of being. You are born again. You are saved. You are delivered. And you are born again forever and saved forever. And the life is everlasting. So if you have heard the words of Jesus, and you have believed the words of Jesus, then straighten up. The burden is gone forever of death. Now your being raised up is left in the hands of God Almighty. And you'll be raised up, but not raised up to go to judgment. Not the great white throne that's forever settled. You go to bed at night, thank God you're saved forever. You get up in the morning, thank God you're saved forever. When one of your loved ones dies, thank God he's the God of the living and not of the dead. Resurrection of the dead is just as certain a fact of God Himself. And so is passing from condemnation or death to life.